Today on the program, We Hate Movies kicks off our seventh season by talking about The Substitute 2, School's Out. Oh, God.
No.
Here we go. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
And We Hate Movies. Everyone, welcome back to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Guys, how was summer break?
Oh, it was great, man.
Yeah?
I lost so much weight and then I gained it again.
oh, yo-yo, say that.
Oh, yo-yo, that comes into play later in
it
the
does.
Film.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
this we'll is our back-to-school episode.
That's right, for all and, you poor bastards going back to school.
And you said the subtitle. I guess, is it a subtitle when they do a colon?
It's the Substitute 2 School's Out. I don't know if there's a colon inserted
but
anywhere.
Why is it? Oh, it's like Star Trek Into Darkness. But why is it School's Out? It should be School's In.
Yeah, School's back in session.
No, because it gives them an excuse to play a terrible cover of School's Out for the Summer by Alice Cooper.
My mother, is that the worst thing that I've ever heard? Quick note on the whereabouts of Chris Cabin, because I think people are worried.
Yes. Yeah.
We've been yo-yoing with people's hearts, by the way.
He's back stateside. He's back on the show. He's going to be on as many episodes. We're mostly doing four-person episodes for season 7.
Yes.
But it's going to bounce around depending on availability. So right. Sometimes I mean, I won't be here. Sometimes Eric won't be here. Thank God. I love those episodes.
Yeah, me too. But the thing is, you know, Chris is getting settled back into life in the United States after
right.
so many years abroad.
He's being screened on suspicion of being a terrorist.
I thought he was in court.
If you have to know.
They saw his shoes and was like, this is a refugee line right here, sir.
I thought he's being quarantined like a dog. Like a dog has to stay in quarantine for 6 months when you move to a different country.
Pretty much. So he's going to miss a couple episodes at the top, but he will be back.
He will be back.
This is just an FYI. And other things are changing, too, here on the We Hate Movies.
Yeah, before we get into the Substitute 2, possibly colon, possibly not colon, School's Out.
Right. We got to reveal.
M-dash School is out.
We got to reveal a couple things. Like, first of all, I've been a ghost the whole time.
That is true. Mm-hmm. Steve and I are the same person.
Mm-hmm.
It's one body doing two voices. When you've seen us live, one of them is an actor. Try to guess which one. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
The plants are alive and they're trying to kill you. Mm-hmm. That's a real thing that's going on right now.
I just love the idea of it's just one podcaster and a lonely ghost.
That's so sad.
None of that is true. However, we do have a Patreon, which is online, y'all.
Oh, that's so cool. That's like a real podcast. They do that, right?
Now we're a real podcast.
Okay.
Now
we're asking for money.
Well,
we are real podcast.
Yikes.
Welcome to Our Real Podcast, my podcast about our real monsters.
I like how we make fun of things that are exactly...
I double dare you to listen to that.
I like how we make fun of things that are exactly us. Like, it's just like, oh man, imagine we were only slightly different. That'd be stupid.
Man, minute by minute.
Exactly.
Steve, that's what you call riding on a high horse.
Yeah, you should always punch down. No, it's punch up.
So we have this thing set up, patreon.com/wehatemovies. You can go there. You can become a monthly patron of the show. And we just want to quick go over, and then we'll get to the Substitute 2 colon School's Out.
Literally no one in the world's like, when are they going to talk about the Substitute 2?
Dude, Treat Williams is listening right now, and he's like, I remember making this movie. Get to it. So here we go. Here are the tiers. You can, again, go to patreon.com/wehatemovies, but we figured we'd spell it out for people a little bit.
That's such an easy link. patreon.com/wehatemovies.
Yeah, that's right. It's convenient.
Mm-hmm.
So $2 a month. Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks
well,
for
no,
contributing.
Sincerely, thank
you. Sincerely, thank you.
That's for people who are like, I don't have a ton of cash, but maybe I want to, because people have said this to us, like, I want to throw you guys money. We've had the donation thing up there. It's been like weird and people, we don't really plug it that much. It's
a little scattershot, yeah.
But if you're like, hey, I like those guys. I just want to, you know, I'm going to take out what a 2 liter of soda costs and give that to these guys a month just because I enjoy the content. Good for you.
And we do. This show is powered on 2 liters of soda.
Okay. But I mean, like,
keep them coming.
And it's a real sincere thank you for those people. And it's awesome. It would be super nice if you did that. And you get access to a brand new feature, mm-hmm. which is a newsletter.
A monthly
newsletter.
Right.
It's going to have in-studio photographs of us. It's going to have sort of a what are we watching kind of a thing. A little blurb about what people are into these days. And just some recaps and fun stuff. And you know, it'll be a fun little newsletter for those.
$2 a month, that's what you get. So $3 a month, just for $1 more, you get all that other stuff, plus access to Animation Damnation.
Right.
Yep. If you don't know what that is, Animation Damnation, once a month, we are talking about a bad cartoon, an episode of a bad cartoon, whether it's something from, you know, our childhoods that were beloved and now we realize are terrible, or things we've never heard of. So anyway, that's tier two. Tier three, $8 or more. You get all that other stuff. AD, the newsletter, the big thank you from the bottom of our fat hearts. And on top of that, month in advance access to each of the 4 yearly commentaries we will be putting out.
That's right. We are now committed. We're going to be doing 4 a year, right?
4 commentaries a year. So you get a commentary a quarter. As it is.
Yeah, a month before it goes on sale.
And you're getting that for free as well. Obviously, we're not going to charge you for the commentary that you're already paying
for. Well, right.
But there's also something else happening in this tier, which is pretty exciting.
Something new. Something different.
A big new bonus show premiering. Patreon exclusive.
Yes.
It's called The Nexus, and it's us talking about Star Trek, the original series, and Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Yeah, and what we're going to be doing is it's basically a Star Trek recap show, but the twist is we're going to do TOS and TNG at the same time. Each mm-hmm. episode is going to have 2 episodes, starting with the original series episode, The Cage,
and the 2-part TNG episode, Encounter at Farpoint.
Take us to Farpoint Station, Mr. Data.
Go through Star Trek with us? That's
right.
A fun idea.
Because we're just going in order.
Right, we're not going to be skipping around. We're just going to go through every single episode of these things until we die.
It's sort of like a Star Trek watch club, basically. Mm. So $8 a month, you get the newsletter, the thank you, which is just kind of like a general thank you.
Yeah.
Animation Damnation, access to the commentaries a month in advance, and this new show, The Nexus. So as of this recording, the Patreon is live. It went live September 1st. It is live. It's ready to go. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. Now, on to the episode. The substitute to School's Out from 1998. Great year, by the way.
The best.
Directed by Steve Pearl. Not Steve Earle, by the way. He was not directing bad sequels. Steve Pearl.
Who the hell's Steve Earle?
Steve Earle is a great musician.
Oh, right.
Jesus Christ.
Wait, what did he do?
He's a great, like, country blues man.
I knew it was going to be country.
The name Earl just gives that right away, doesn't it? First or last name is going to be Earl.
Well, regardless of your ignorance to Steve Earle, this is Steve Pearl, and this is the substitute to, this is the Behringer-less substitute to, minus a photo in some guy's wallet.
I mean, it's kind of a spiritual remake. It's basically a remake.
Yeah.
See, what happens is Tom Behringer goes back in time.
Yes.
And then the gang follows him through the portal.
Oh, no.
And then it, like, changes things, right? And then, like, Tom Behringer's dad dies earlier.
this is Treat Williams at the helm, by the way.
I like Treat Williams.
He is a treat.
He's
a delight.
He's also always kind of creepy, which is a good thing.
It's a good creepy, though.
And whenever I think about him, I imagine something. And then whenever I see him, he's 10 years older than I thought. Because, like, I didn't think he was going to look this old in 98.
Yeah. He's an older gentleman.
He is. You know, there's a bad sign for this movie, like, right at the start. The company that, like, produced it, it's just Live Entertainment. Well, and you're like, okay.
I've definitely seen that on a VHS.
No, yeah, it's a big VHS. I mean, the thing I like about this movie, it's like a 90s indie New York movie. Like,
it is.
You think, like, Steve Buscemi, John Turturro, Michael Imperioli, or Richard Edson are just going to show up at any second.
Oh, absolutely.
Or they're making a better movie around the block.
More than likely, the cast of Little Odessa shows up.
Michael Moriarty walked down from the set of Law and Order to see what was going on at the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, this is like a C-grade Little Odessa kind of movie.
Can we get into how bad this cover of the Alice Cooper song is?
Yes, let's get into it.
It took me forever to realize it was even that, and I was like, because there's so much like jazzy fart synth piano in this.
It's fart rock. It's a fart rock cover of Alice Cooper, and it's distracting.
And the funny thing is, it's not even real. It's not a band that does this. If you look at the end of the thing, it's just like three studio musicians. They just shoved at this cover.
Yikes. Like, learn how to play this in an afternoon.
Could have used some Steve Earle.
Steve Earle would have made a fucking fantastic cover of School's Out, parentheses, for the summer. Just an FYI.
I believe you.
So, Treat Williams is another mercenary turned substitute teacher, which I think in this universe there are no fewer than four mercenaries turned substitute teacher or teacher.
Well,
that's like the retirement plan.
I guess so. Like, isn't in the first one. Because it's the same universe. Treat Williams used to work with Tom Berenger on other mercenary missions.
It's your classic, oh, hey, you just missed him.
Yeah, exactly. But doesn't he recruit like other mercenaries in that first movie to go undercover with him?
No, but
like not all as substitute teachers. Like, one guy's like a cable guy or something. Or someone's working for like the phone company.
Luis Guzman is there. Yeah.
The dude who played Tuco on Breaking Bad.
Richard Raymond Cruz.
Whose character crosses over into this movie, but he does not.
Oh, does it? Did they mention
that Joey Six guy?
Oh, what? That's yes.
Oh, no, that's not supposed to be.
That's
wait
supposed
a second.
To be Tuco. That's Tuco's character.
Oh, wow. Okay, that sucks.
All right, hashtag not my Tuco.
Not at all. Okay, that I missed because it doesn't make sense because this guy looks a lot like Richard Edson, to be quite honest. He's like a Z-grade Richard Edson.
That is the most disappointing news I've heard all summer and fall.
Yeah, that's
you know
the
what?
Guy.
Fuck that, dude. Yeah.
Well, actually, speaking of Breaking Bad, we open this movie with Ted Beneke getting killed.
Oh, right. He's the brother who gets executed at the beginning of the movie.
Because there's a car. I mean, like, this movie takes place in Seinfeld, New York, where everyone's driving cars. Like, this high school is like Seinfeld High. Because, like, everyone.
Well, it's a little different. There's black people in this movie.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. So that's not Seinfeld High.
Right.
But it's like everyone's driving to and from school.
Mm-hmm.
There's carjackings. Are crazy all
because,
of a sudden.
Well, this is the interesting thing about this movie, and we were sort of talking about this off the air, but like this movie and all other movies like it, all other movies like this movie, I should say, it's always California.
Yeah.
But this movie, for whatever reason, is just set in Brooklyn, and it's like weird because all of those things, like driving around, the gang is always hiding as the auto body shop class, which is what this movie is too. There's none of that going on here, man. Yeah, like, that's a Los Angeles or suburb thing.
I also think it was just like, oh, we're making the sequel. How do you make it worse? Let's put them in more of a war zone.
Yeah, late 90s New York City.
New York City schools. Oh, I read the news.
Substitute to I read the news.
Rip from the headlines.
So this woman is getting carjacked, and Ted Beneke's, I guess, going home.
He's like just walking home.
The grocery store?
Well, he's a teacher at the school.
Okay.
And he's walking home, you know, probably from like tutoring.
Sure.
Monitoring a light detention sesh.
Maybe, and you know what? Chaperoning a nice dance.
Oh, that could be. A nice mid-afternoon dance.
He also just so happens to be a mercenary turned teacher, as so many are.
Listen, Steve, I don't know why you're like, you don't want our veterans to have jobs when they get back.
First of all, mercenaries are not veterans.
Yeah, sure that's a good call.
No, I mean, sure they are. They just they just stayed a little longer.
Yeah. Well, super seniors : mercenaries.
Aren't mercenaries generally like pretty loaded though? Aren't mercenaries usually? I mean, they're always doing jobs for like $80,000.
Yeah.
Like, how are you like when you retire from being a mercenary? How is it like you can't just retire? You gotta have a job.
Gambling problem, probably.
Oh, that might be.
I'm sure the tax man's looking.
No, mercenaries aren't paying taxes.
I know, but the thing is, like, you gotta look like you got a respectable job. It's gotta be on the books.
I see.
You know, you're like laying low.
Right. So he shoves his fat nose into this fucking car. Like, dude. Rule number one in New York, you keep walking. You see a carjacking, none of my business.
Yeah. No, that she is already dead. I'm sorry you're seeing this, but just keep going.
Like, I will report a strange bag left alone on the subway. Mm-hmm. That's about as far
I'll,
as
I'll,
it
I'll report that carjacking from two blocks away.
Oh, sure. I'll run away. Yes. I'll run away and then call in some dude jerking off on the corner. But I'm not going up to that dude like, hey, buddy, quit jerking off over there.
I'm not even doing that. I'm leaving a note.
What does it say? Someone was jerking off here? That's not helpful.
Yeah.
That's just like saying, oh, there's air in the world. There's somebody who's jerking off in New York City. Great. Thanks for the note.
They do it all the time.
Yeah, they do. People are jerking off left and right.
On the trains, nonstop.
So these two teens are carjacking this woman. This guy's like, hey, buddy, hey, stop it.
And then, like, get your damn hands off.
And he's, like, doing the thing of, like, you don't have to do this. You're going to throw your whole life away, which is fine. But then he grabs the gun and clearly gets shot in the chest, like, no less than 15 times.
Yeah, there's, you know, there's also another huge mistake thrown in there. He definitely says to the like, carjackers, like, he lets them know that he knows their students from the high school.
Big mistake.
Like, what are you doing calling these kids out and then saying, like, they're throwing away their lives? Yeah. And what? Like, no, dude, no. It's just, if anything, it's a let the girl go situation,
yes.
And that is that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, grabbing the
Nobody
gun.
Needs to get hurt here kind of a deal,
yep.
Which I wouldn't do. But sure, if you're a real hero.
If you really have to play a hero, take it that far.
The real... The blame should probably sit on the woman because she runs away from her carjacking and then she gets shot for it.
Yeah, that's true.
That's sort of what starts everything because then
teacher
shot makes
the
a
back.
Move.
Yeah,
to well, try to he take
spooks,
these guys out.
Yeah, she spooks him.
You know, right. You never want to look. Somebody's got a gun on you. Hands up. Let's just figure this out together. You know what I mean?
Exactly right.
So cut to that guy's funeral because he is just dead.
This high school student finishes this guy off too.
He comes back and shoots him again.
Yeah, it's like a shot. And then the other kid's like, what are you doing? You took this too far. We were just going to rob her. And he's like, oh yeah, well, fuck this guy. And it's like another 4 slugs in the chest.
Well, he also says, so long, teach, which is just like, come. First of all, no one's called anyone teach since the days of Arthur Fonzarelli. You're not murdering a teacher in the street then calling him teach.
What's his face wasn't calling Mr. Hands teach at any point?
Oh, Spicoli, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Did Spicoli throw in a teach here and there?
I'm not sure. I got to rewatch The Adventures of Jeff Spicoli.
I'm due for a Fast Times rewatch.
Yeah. Or maybe is Mark Harmon being called teach in summer school or not so much?
Oh, maybe. That's a definite possibility. I think Chainsaw and the other guy might call him teach or something.
Yeah. That'd be a great opening to summer school, too, is Mark Harmon getting shot in the chest.
Colin, school's out.
That would be schools out because he's being laid in a grave.
And then Christy Alley has to put together the pieces.
Oh yeah, she, and
wait,
then she,
the body?
No, she has to like take down the gang.
She has to like reassemble to assure the EMS that this is a body. No, it's not just ground raw meat. It was a man.
Wow, that is an assassination you're describing.
It's like something from The Exterminator. 1980.
Oh. So, yeah, cut to military funeral. Taps is going on. We're folding the flag. And Treat Williams shows up just a little bit late.
Here's the thing. It's a really loosely attended funeral. It's his daughter who will meet and this love interest who will also meet. And they're just kind of sad. And then Treat Williams is like coming up in the back and he's got a duffel bag.
Like straight from the airport, Treat Williams. Are you kidding me?
Do not bring luggage to my funeral. This is my request to both of you and anyone listening. Do not bring luggage to my funeral.
Like leave it outside the cemetery gate.
That'd be
nice.
On
the other side of the cemetery wall.
Or just show up on time and leave it at the hotel.
Well, because here's the thing. Yeah. Travel shampoo should never enter a graveyard.
Steve, is it okay if I hide it behind your tombstone? Like maybe if I get there a little early.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Or messenger bags too. You can't just like have your, I want to read a book on the train, so I'm going to have a messenger bag at your funeral.
Well, how selfish are you? You got to think of me on the way home.
Yeah. I would like some rumination.
Right. FYI, if any of us goes first, Chris Cabin's bringing a messenger bag to our funeral.
Oh, of course.
And a Diet Coke to boot.
You better at least pour some out of my soil, my fresh soil. One for podcasters fallen.
So,
ashes to ashes, Dorito dust to Dorito dust.
It's Spiritu Santi and something in Klingon. Kalush Kalash.
So he's late. He's got this luggage. And then so like he meets up with the niece and it's like, oh, I haven't seen you since before you developed into a woman, which is always fucking terribly awkward conversation.
Sorry to derail here, but I had a great idea. And I think we should all do this.
Yes.
We should put our names in a hat. And whoever pulls out the wrong thing has to do their funeral in Klingon, like a full wow. Klingon funeral, like
so like drawing a short straw.
Yeah, draw the short straw. It's like
oh man,
Klingon funeral. Wow.
But what are some of the traditions of a Klingon funeral?
I don't know.
Well, because you can't just have a Christian funeral in Klingon.
No,
it's probably like eating gross spaghetti, whatever else.
There's
they
definitely
did.
Consuming live worms. You might be cutting out my heart, and everybody has to eat a piece of it.
That I think is kind of cool.
But you're also being called a brave warrior, which is not too bad.
Oh, that's right. True.
It's also a lie.
I mean, anyone's funeral, there's a bunch of lies being thrown around.
That's true. I'm just saying, God's watching.
You might as well have a Klingon funeral.
I would like Chris to have a Klingon funeral.
Well, he's not here, so there it is. That's if
all
you're
right,
listening, Chris.
We've decided. Hey, Chris Cabin, FYI, when you go, yeah. Klingon style, baby.
My apologies to your mother in advance.
Yeah. They'll be startled when I show up in a dress uniform from the Klingon Empire.
Oh, we're not doing this?
Oh man, so she's like, oh, you know, because you gotta save it for later, this little detail. Oh yeah, you know, my dad was teaching me karate, and Treat Williams is like, oh, that's cool. Anyway, on with the movie.
Well, no, it's hilarious because she's like, you know, you never call, you never write, you're never around, blah blah blah. And she's like, did you know he taught me karate? And she like, gives him like a sidekick, and it's like, and he's like, yeah, whatever.
So it's like he determines, you know, that his brother was murdered by someone at the school, so he's gonna do the old substitute gag.
Well, because again, he calls up Joey Six, who is this other guy, not Raymond Cruz.
No. But and is familiar with the events from the first film.
You think Joey Six is related to Tom Six by any chance, or not so much?
The director of the Human Centipede movies?
Yes, like maybe that's 50- what he did after being a mercenary.
Yeah, 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, you're saying Joey Six became
Tom Six.
Six.
Entirely possible.
Oh, that's entirely
after,
possible.
I bet some mercenary out there has made a human centipede.
Oh, like a real one?
Yeah. Yeah, I guarantee you that's happened.
Wait. I didn't see past that first one. Has anyone seen all of those movies?
I've seen all three in theaters. And you know that. You just wanted me to admit it.
Oh, I sure did.
Oh, God. That's
yeah,
disgusting.
The second two are not watchable.
That first one's not watchable.
The first one looks like a masterclass in directing compared to the second two.
So he was then like slowly becoming like Tom 5 and Tom 4. His directing powers were depleting.
Now, is the centipede getting longer? What's
oh yeah,
how
oh,
they changing
it's becoming
up?
Yeah. In the
it's like 70 people. Maybe.
Yeah, like it's always getting longer. And the second one, it's like a fantasy. It's like it's inspired by the events of the first one. It's some weird fat guy jerking off, and he's like, "Oh, that's awesome."
Wait, so it's about the audience?
Yeah, it is kind of a fuck you. Oh, you like this movie, you idiot?
Right, because in the second one, is it true that like the movie Human Centipede exists?
Yes.
And it's someone like the fat guy's like mimicking what he saw in the movie, basically. Yeah. Fuck that.
And then the third one, I think the movie Human Centipede, both of them exist. And it's
they're
like,
in outer space.
Well, no, it's a weird southern prison that doesn't make any sense.
Oh, well, it's a comment on our prison industrial complex.
Yeah, that guy's a genius.
So Joey Six comes to town, and it's that whole, like, oh, man, haven't seen you since Nicaragua,
uh-huh.
Or whatever the else missionary speak they do.
Not missionary. Well, I mean, if you were a missionary, you might not have seen somebody since Nicaragua. We're talking mercenaries.
Oh, mercenaries. Excuse me?
Missionaries and mercenaries. The ships that pass in the night.
That's true. Yeah, a lot of work-for-hire things.
Why isn't that a movie? I mean, maybe it is. Maybe, like, a mercenary goes to a missionary.
Oh.
You know? Like, maybe there's, like...
I feel like that could be the plot of a shitty Mel Gibson movie.
Yeah,
that no one
like
would
there's
see.
Villagers that need killing for not not respecting the Bibles.
Oh, yeah, that's those a good villagers idea. Need killing.
It's like, oh, you go to a village, you're a missionary, you strike out, you're like, I don't know, if I get a mercenary here, put the fear of God in him.
Yeah, exactly. It's Old Testament stuff.
So Joey Six is like, oh, well, this thing that Tom Berenger did seemed to work out okay. I guess you could do that, and I guess I'll be on your team. Cut to him like, oh, how's Tom Berenger doing? And this dude opens a wallet with pictures of Tom Berenger and his lady friend from the first movie.
Publicity stills, we call those.
Yeah, oh, without question. And like Treat Williams is like, oh, you always carry around other people's photographs in your wallet? Which is a great point.
They say that he's teaching in Costa Rica now. So what the hell is the teacher thing? It's like...
It's happening. Well, it's
I like think, no, no, but I think that he's teaching like... Length? Mercenaries oh, at that point.
Right.
Here's my hand-to-hand combat.
What are the odds? You know what I mean? Like, it just so happens that two mercenaries used to be friends, and they both found the only way to avenge their brother and or girlfriend was to pose as a substitute teacher in a public school and kill a bunch of kids and also kill somebody that's actually using the school as a front for a nefarious criminal organization. What are the odds?
I would say what are the odds to the nefarious criminal organization part? Because like Treat Williams is inspired by what Tom Berenger did.
Oh, okay.
So, it's not like he has the idea independent of it. I feel he's like, I heard that Berenger did that thing. Why don't I do that? Better call in Berenger. What's that, a busy signal? Maybe I'll try Joey Six.
This is now turning into what Human Centipede 2 is. Exactly. Maybe he watched The Substitute 1.
Yeah.
And unlike Human Centipede 2, we don't get a grosser looking Matt Little. We get Treat Williams, who's a better looking Tom Berenger.
That is right.
Yeah, he's mm-hmm. he's a handsomer Tom Berenger, that's for sure. And you know what? When he speaks, you can understand him, which is great, nice and clear.
I'm not big of a fan of that though.
What, understanding what Treat Williams says?
Yeah, I kind of miss that Tom Berenger.
No, but this is more like he's got like this Midwestern like creepy drawl. You ever see this movie? Oh, God, I can't think of the name of it. It's like
Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer?
Yes, I have.
It's just Treat Williams trying to get like Laura Dern to go on a ride with him. And like he's clearly gonna rape and kill her. It's like he's basically breaking into her. It's like a home invasion movie almost.
Oh, this sounds vaguely familiar. Yeah. I don't know that I've seen it though.
It's a terrifying Treat Williams performance.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, because he is that subdued like I could blow at any second, mm-hmm. and it's not like he's about to boil over. Like it would be like flipping a light switch, mm-hmm. and he would just become a mass murderer.
Yeah, it's a secret Tom Berenger dad. Like it's like a Tom Berenger dad you don't want to fuck with.
So he's even more dangerous.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like that.
It's hidden in plain sight.
So he goes to this lady that was also having sex with his brother, goes over for dinner there in one of many dinner scenes, and is like, hey, by the way, I want to avenge my brother. Could you? She's like, oh, are you a teacher? He's like, of sorts, which is like, yikes. But anytime anyone says of
mean?
Sorts to an answer to an honest question is a bit creepy to me.
And in the instance of are you a teacher, it's fired for dating a student. If the response is of sorts, aka I slept with a student and was fired.
Well, then she asks, oh, are you a karate teacher? And he says, oh, yes, on a much larger scale. Like what, giant karate?
Yes, I loved that line. Sort of, but on a much larger scale. Global karate.
I was just thinking he's training Cobra.
Oh my God, he might be right? working for Cobra.
Yeah.
Mercenary, teaching karate, much larger scale.
Larger scale.
I
bet he's in New York City because he's on contract with the Foot Clan.
Oh man.
He's just passing through.
Him and Sam Rockwell?
Yeah.
Dude, so there's another iffy part of this whole situation at this dinner, which yes, there are several dinner scenes because in these kinds of movies, it's important to sit down for a nice hot meal every now and again. Just collect your thoughts. Let the movie slow to a dead crawl.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Where he basically lays out to her like, hey, so this is what I want to do to avenge my brother. I want to infiltrate the school that you work at and pretend to be a substitute teacher. And she's like, oh, okay, great. And he starts going like, so who's going to fill in for my brother? And she's like, they'll probably get a substitute. And he's like, well, you think I could be that substitute? And she's like, well, we'd have to get you a teaching certificate. That would take a couple days. I was like, a couple days? Isn't that a thing you have to like study for and pass exams for?
I think this is another thing, like in the first movie where they hack the system.
Well, they hack the system, yes. Right. And you see that all play out. And part of Berenger's team like gets him all those fake credentials where it's like, oh, you worked at the prestigious blah, 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 and whatever.
This one, they're like, ah, fuck it.
We're just going to fill out a form. It'll take a couple days. Like, what a downgrade.
Cut to next day. He's still dressed. Again, he's dressed this entire time in like JCPenney Edge, like colon the Edge selection. Like, it's for mercenaries.
Oh, nice. I like it. You know, it's a little baggier, not necessarily because it's 98, but because it's like, he needs that mobility.
Well, that's the thing. You got to be able to whip a leg around really quickly.
Right.
And you got to have like some baggy-ish khakis. You definitely have to have a corduroy jacket, which he's wearing this entire movie. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, bravo, acing the substitute teacher uniform.
So he's... This school is like, it's not that bad of a school, but there's like an abandoned wing where they put all the bad kids.
Like there's the high school where it's like, like it's not that great. It's just like an underfunded inner city high school kind of a thing. But then there's another part that I think the wing is connected to like a haunted insane asylum.
It's Arkham, you think?
Dude, when he asks like where this room is, like on day one, they're like, oh, better get up and go through whatever, and you know it's going to take you a while to get through security or something. And you're like, what the fuck? And he walks from a seemingly okay but shitty high school into like this hellscape where there's metal detectors and barbed wire.
It's night and day, and there's like graffiti on the wall for some. Like, wouldn't it be nicer if there's that much security?
Yes, there would be security there. Like, also, like, wouldn't the whole school need metal detectors? Why are some kids allowed to bring guns to school and others aren't?
Well, that's the thing. The bad
you
kids...
You lost your privileges.
The bad kids that are putting these, like, you know, put in this haunted wing or whatever where the fucking Frighteners took place. Like, they could go to the nicer part of the school with the guns and kill people.
Yes.
It doesn't... Oh, my God. It's so, like... There's like thunder crackling and someone's like screaming in the distance. It's really weird.
I think it might be the Upside Down.
Oh, I see what's going on.
Treat Williams walked into like a tree vagina and came out into this scary version of high school.
It's all cold for some reason.
We've also got B.D. Wong in this movie.
I would call him Biceps D. Wong in this movie because he is jacked.
He's so fucking jacked in this movie. He's lit up. It's awesome.
It's kind of funny to see B.D. Wong play a heavy, you know?
Like, yeah, I mean, spoiler alert, he's the villain of the movie.
Second build, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's awesome.
That's how bad this cast is.
And he's posing as a good fella.
Uh-huh. He's like a gym teacher, a shop teacher or
shop
something?
Teacher.
Shop, and he's a coach. And
that's right, he's the soccer coach. That's why he's just constantly wearing that whistle.
Just in case things get out of hand.
Just in case a soccer practice breaks out.
And like he's telling Treat Williams to be like, oh, don't get discouraged. Don't listen to these broken men who are like the other teachers in the school that just like hate the students.
It's your classic bad school teachers, what do you call it? Their teacher's lounge
The
situation.
Teacher's lounge scenes where it's like, again, there's someone who's always sleeping. There's a person who's crying. Someone's putting liquor into coffee. Mm-hmm.
Everyone's smoking. The bug guy, one of the bug guys from Silence of the Lambs is there.
Paul Lazar. I gave him a ride home one time.
Oh, really?
Dude, so Paul Lazar.
Was he hitching?
No, this is great. Paul Lazar, he came to where I work to do a screening of...
And he was never seen again.
Yeah, I killed him.
he put a bug in his mouth.
Because he's in Bong Joon-ho's the train movie.
Oh, Snowpiercer.
Yeah, he's in Snowpiercer.
Click, 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 train.
And he's also that. He's also in The Host, Bong Joon-ho's The Host. So we had a screening of the train movie, and he came up for it. Snowpiercer, and
it's
like
a great movie.
With some other people, like Bong Joon-ho was there, yeah. And like did a Q&A, and then afterwards it was like, oh, he had just missed a train, and I was like, I'll give you a ride back to the city, Paul Lazar, and he was like, cool, can you hook me up with like this train line? I was like, yep. I drove him to a subway stop.
Oh, that's cool.
He's a very nice man.
That's very nice.
In this movie, he's playing a teacher that has given up on everything except making fun of the dead.
Yeah, he's really having a lot of fun at Ted Beneke's expense.
He is talking shit about this guy, calling him stupid for like caring about the kids, trying to make a difference.
Yeah. You see what it got him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he starts awkwardly doing like the pow, pow, like finger gunning everyone, all these depressed teachers at this table.
I would have thought like this guy would come back because he's like a known actor and like maybe he gets killed or something. I don't know.
Yeah, more than one scene of Paul Lazar, preferably him getting thrown out a window for his words earlier in the film.
But he doesn't. So we get Treat Williams teacher. And like, it's always a weird thing in these movies where, and this happens in The Substitute as well, like what kind of class structure is this? Because he only teaches history to 9 kids.
Right.
8 minutes a day is what it seems to be.
And shock of all shocks, it always somehow manages to wiggle its way back to Vietnam.
Yeah, it's just, no matter what we're like, dude, we're talking about the revolutionary. Yeah, Vietnam.
Yeah. You know what? Vietnam was a revolution for America, too. Let's talk about that instead. You're just like, okay.
There are certain people of that generation. That's all they want to talk about.
But there's no like, hey, well, let's open our chapter to our textbooks to unit number one.
Like, what were you studying before your teacher was murdered?
I'm not just going to come in and casually give you firsthand accounts of Vietnam. That's not actually helpful.
No, that's,
but you
know what? It's on the Regents.
Listen.
Yes.
He doesn't give a shit.
Yeah,
you know what
true.
I mean? Like, he's there to find out who killed his brother.
Sure.
The most history he can talk about is Vietnam.
Is the history he made.
Exactly. No, it's the same thing with Tom Berenger. Yeah. That's why Tom Berenger is also talking about Vietnam in that movie.
So he comes in. He's got a yo-yo.
A metal yo-yo, by the way.
Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of kids in there. You know.
There's one dude I did recognize from The Wire, the dude who played D'Angelo Barksdale.
Yes, he's in this. He's the kid that like almost makes it in this movie and then gets murdered.
No, he does make it. He makes it to the end of the movie.
Oh, okay.
He's the one that at the end says to Treat Williams, like, you look like you could need a vacation or like whatever that line is, you know, and it's like, oh, you're not going to murder me. Okay.
Mm-hmm. There is the person with the most uncomfortable death in American history. X is in this movie.
Oh,
that's
fun. The dude who gets curb stomped.
Oh, jeez.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
Was that invented by that movie?
Because that's
now like, oh, real, and then the real crimes are it's like the human centipede.
Have people been curb stomped? Is that a thing that happens?
American History X did not invent curb stomping.
Oh, I see.
I don't
guarantee
think.
You thousands and
thousands.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Across the globe? Are you kidding me?
Okay.
I bet
that movie wasn't the first instance where someone put their brittle teeth on a sidewalk.
You can just hear it, can't you? Just think about it. You can just hear it.
The only thing that movie does well is the sound design of when his teeth go on the sidewalk brick.
Yeah,
and you can hear it. God, it's horrifying just thinking about it.
And
that movie sucks, by the way. There are people that will tell you that movie's good. No, thank you.
It's all right. It's a cautionary tale, Andrew.
Yeah.
Don't get involved
sure
in that.
Is.
First of all, any movie with Elliot Gould gets an instant 2 stars. That's A number one.
Those scenes are great. But the thing is, like, since we've started talking about it, there's probably been someone curbed.
Oh, is that happening that often?
If you think about the population and the ratios and
the way the
world is going.
We might as well start outlawing Doc Martens then, huh?
We should.
So, yeah, this teaching thing, you know, it's the same in every single one of these movies. This is the obligatory, like, I'm going to pretend that I'm talking about nothing, but then, like, surprise them with a bit of something to let them know I'm not fucking around.
Yes.
Because he's got this yo-yo, and he's doing all these tricks, and he's talking about Vietnam while, like, swinging this yo-yo around and whatever. And then he's like, yeah, what does it look like? It's just a toy. Except when a toy isn't a toy, it used to be used as a weapon in the 15th century or whatever, and fucking
15th century.
I don't know what he says. And he's
in the Philippines, but I don't know.
Oh, Philippines. Oh, that's what it is. Yeah,
same difference.
I'm just picturing like knights in armor running at each other with yo-yos.
And he flicks this yo-yo at this kid who's drinking like a 40 filled with orange soda.
Sure.
And this glass just shatters all over this kid, like. Mercenary substitute teacher or not, someone's getting a call about that.
Yeah, of course. Like,
glass went into my student's eyeball today.
Mm-hmm. He assaulted me with a yo-yo. Goodbye, sir.
You know, the funny thing is, like, I thought I hadn't seen this movie, and I was like, oh, no, I never saw that movie, you know? And then I saw this scene, and I was like, wait a second. You mean the scene that made me want a yo-yo?
Oh, did you go and buy a yo-yo after you rented most definitely this movie?
No, I couldn't find the right one.
First of all, this movie's been on Cinemax, so let's not call a shitter here.
Well, that's true. I'm just saying, when was the first time you saw this movie?
It must have been on Cinemax.
Well, I'm implying you must have been a child because it made you want to own a yo-yo.
Yes, I was a very young child.
Adults with yo-yos, by the way, pack it up. Fucking put it away. It's time to grow up. Why don't you pay taxes like everybody else?
You can't pay taxes if you have a yo-yo, is that what you're
saying? No, because children don't pay taxes.
But it could be a weapon. See, this you haven't learned from the movie.
Where are you finding a metallic yo-yo, though? I feel like that's an invention of the film.
I don't know. Maybe
just like curb stomping was invented by American History X.
That's my understanding of it.
It's just the first time that you were exposed to it. That's right.
And human centipedes were invented by the movie.
That's actually true, I think.
That was invented by from the genius mind of Tom Six.
The thing is, I'm thinking it was around before.
Oh, you think there's a couple
maybe back in the 15th century?
Yo-yos and human centipedes roamed the earth.
Everything you could think of has been done.
Sure.
So then he decides he's going to do some undercover work with Joey Six.
Yeah.
And it's like the middle of the night. We're going to follow this gang. This is another weird thing with mercenaries in these movies. There's like the main mercenary who's out for revenge. And then whatever team he creates, he's like, and by the way, I'm going to tell you up front, Joey, there's no pay in any of this. And it's like, this dude's just doing it for the guts and the glory?
Or just to kill children. Because that's what, I mean, like literally, yeah, it's fun to say that they're teenagers, and they are, but they're just children.
Yeah.
So you're just running around.
A lot of these actors. They definitely make a point to say at one moment in the film, like, these guys clearly aren't high school students.
Yeah, but also that's the other thing, too. These people are in a gang that kills people, steals cars, et cetera, et cetera. Why are you going to high school anymore?
Like, because you know what? You gotta keep up the front. It's the same thing like in The Principal.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They're dealing drugs from within the school, so they're pretending to be students. Much like this is like you're pretending to be a member of that auto bodies class,
right?
So you can be stealing cars.
At least the first movie had like the mercenaries had promise of actual money because there was like serious money going around.
Yeah, right.
And whatnot. And what else happens in that movie? They have a bad bad mercenary to go up against.
Right. There's a dude who's crooked in the movie.
Yeah, so it's come on.
This movie could have used that.
Yes.
Well, there's so many mercenaries in this movie because not only is his brother a mercenary, he's a mercenary. B.D. Wong's also a mercenary.
Oh, that's right. They find out he's ex-Green Beret.
How many of these people are walking around among us?
There are more than you think.
Okay.
I'd say you'd pass like three a day.
If you're a mercenary, write it in the We All Hate Movies mailbag, please.
Yes. Please.
Yeah. Secret mercenary. That's like a thing I listened to the other day on a podcast that said that statistically there's like 2 million psychopaths in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe that?
Yeah, I'm surprised it's not more.
No, Eric, I'm saying like right now someone in your condo complex is a psychopath.
You're looking at him.
So he does this
midnight raid that he does
because he's doing this like back and forth with Joey Six, wherein
Joey Six is doing all the research. May I remind everyone,
putting up all the cash too, getting all these guns together. Basically, there was a guy that witnessed his brother's murder that the leader of this gang, who is played by Guru as Little B.
Oh, Guru, of course.
Mm-hmm. And so he's got this guy held up by a string, and he's like shooting. He's erected a batting cage apparatus.
Yes, the thing that throws the balls in a batting cage, and it's hit this dude in the chest.
Yeah.
I think this dude is someone who works like security at the school, I think is the thing, like one of the security guards.
So it's like, oh, we heard you were going to the cops and we're doing this thing.
Yes.
And then Joey Six, because again, like Treat Williams has to keep his cover
anonymity
as a substitute
right.
Down. So Joey Six goes down there and like there's like some fun laser pointer action.
Yeah, like Treat Williams. One, he starts sniping a couple people to like get the point across, like some shoulder and thigh hits. He like sets up this apparatus to make it look like there's multiple guns. It's just all these like laser sights on one tripod kind of a thing.
If you know who killed your brother and that's the whole point, lock the door and blow it up. Done.
But I think
Short
he's looking
movie.
For proof, though.
Oh, really?
Well, because we find out the killer's not in that gang.
We find out a lot of things.
Yeah, no, a lot of things. You know, Steve, it's funny. A lot of things are perfectly timed to great surprise reveals in this movie.
It's very
There's
true.
a lot of twists and turns in The Substitute too.
Oh wow, it's almost like it's a good movie. Wait, no,
no,
it's not.
No. It's more like an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Oh shit,
yeah, a lot of bad twists. Yeah, so like they let this dude go. He kind of shoots some of these guys, but that's like the end of it. He just gets the point across that like there's someone in the rafters who's after you.
There's a Punisher out to come and get you, essentially. And so, yeah, he's basically, like, dating this one woman, Treat Williams is, and, like, every time they're about to get down, Joey Six is like, hey, we've got more reconnaissance to do.
Well, he's like, hey, remember what you came here for. Not for nothing. Also, he's, like, sleeping with his dead brother's girlfriend, I believe is the situation.
And not raising his daughter. That's the other thing, too. Like, if... He's like barely paying attention to this girl who's like in real. Is he your legal guardian? What's going on?
I don't know what the situation is. She does have a line where she says that she inherited the house. And I'm like, oh, so like a 16-year-old girl lives alone in this house.
Or is she like 18 and about to graduate? I don't know.
That's entirely possible.
Oh, that might be. Yeah, I really don't
know. I mean,
know.
I need to know the legalities of this stuff, though. They really need to take me. He should show up with luggage at like the reading of the will.
He just has luggage everywhere. Yeah,
he's got to be ready to go. You never know. You never know when the president's going to call. Oh, hey there, Treat Williams.
Oh, man, we got a big mess in Brooklyn. We need to get you down, too. Wait, no, how many of my mercenaries are substitute teachers right now? I need someone to go to Kosovo, motherfuck.
How many of y'all retired? Hillary, what is the retirement package for these men?
I'm going to let these mercenaries write my crime bill.
So the next day of the classroom nonsense is the better of the two. The yo-yo's fine, but this is great because he comes in. There's a dude, again, just blaring this boombox.
This dude, Eugene Bird, who you've seen him in a bunch of stuff. He's in famously Anacondas 2, The Blood Orchid.
Oh, is he really?
Wait, famously?
Famously, yeah. He's also in like 8 Mile and Dead Man and all that. A lot of stuff.
Dead Man?
Dead Man. Jim Jarmusch's Snooze Fest.
I
Dead Man.
Love
Dead
that
Man's
movie.
A great movie. What are you talking
I
about?
I fell asleep so many times
I've heard
that.
People sleeping during that. But it is. It's a movie I really love.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's like got this boombox and he's blaring it, and Treat Williams is like, he does the whole like we're trying to start class kind of a thing, and he picks up this dude's boombox and throws it out the window.
Well, he does this whole elliptical metaphor. He's like, we're at an impasse, and when you're at an impasse, there's the part where the greater force is gonna. He just chucks the dude's fucking boombox. He's like, blah blah blah. I'm gonna fucking break your boombox, motherfucker.
Yeah, no, it's a really great dickhead move that he pulls, and this dude like freaks out, and then like. He comes at him with a knife, and Treat Williams is doing the whole, like, lecturing while getting, like, almost stabbed. But you know he's not gonna because he's a mercenary and this is a stupid kid.
So here's the difference. I just realized it right now. Because the difference between Tom Berenger and Treat Williams' character, Shale, and whatever this guy's name is.
Thomason. Carl Thomason.
Thomason is, like... Tom Berenger famously, oh my god, I'm gonna kill him. Like it's this seething rage that like he can barely keep down.
Right? It's like you see it on his face and
but
waves.
Like Treat Williams is more terrifying because he just woke up like set up stiff as a board one night and is like, oh my god, I can kill everybody. And like that's it. And like that's his zero is like at any second, it's just gonna happen. Oh, you wanna cut me off in traffic, huh? I'm going to burn your fucking house down.
That is really it.
Mm. Oh, iced coffee with a little too much milk in. I said a little bit. Someone's not going to have kneecaps by the end of the day, buddy.
Yeah, he's kind of unhinged.
It's really chilling because like Tom Berenger, as you were saying, like kind of like, and he like kind of slowly morphs into like his murderous rage.
Yeah.
And this guy's just that at a constant.
Mm-hmm.
Calm as a cucumber.
So he throws it out the window, and then this kind of spurs on. And again, like, if some teacher is giving you guff at school, who gives a shit? You're a gang member. You've got all sorts of money coming in. You also are doing an illegal operation at this school, so don't make waves. But what they do is they bring the whole gang into the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. One student fakes, like, a tummy ache. And then Treat Williams is like, oh, say, he's been in that bathroom a mighty long time. Let me go see what's going on. And, like, these dudes jump him in the bathroom.
They sneak into Arkham, basically. Like,
yes.
He goes to the bathroom, lets all these dudes in, like, six guys.
Mm-hmm. And they...
No, Not the one with weapons, by the way, which is silly.
No,
like, yeah, bring a baseball bat.
They definitely do the old, like, we're going to get him one at a time kind of a thing. Yep. Like, each dude, one at a time, comes out of a bathroom stall like a bad video game.
Right, and it is Arkham, so the calendar man is there. It's very
Egg
weird.
Man's there. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's just, like, breaking arms and stuff. And this is when the janitor, another mercenary, turned school administrator.
Well, let's not give the janitor too much credit. School administrator.
He's administrating the toilets.
He does a great job. Well, no, he does a bad job because the place looks like hell. But
paint over some of this graffiti.
He's a tunnel rat.
Yeah, he.
Like, well, this is specialty. This is really, really stupid.
Because he just walks in through a vent in the wall, like a small vent in the wall.
It's my favorite shot in the movie. Like, the camera's facing Treat Williams, and he's like.
Right, because he just took out all these guys.
Just beat all these toughs. And, like, you're seeing all the dudes, like, in the background. They're out of focus. They're all, like, you know, falling on the floor or already dead or whatever. And then, like a horror movie almost, behind Treat Williams, this grate just opens. And you're like, what?
And how does Treat Williams keep his cool and not, like, throw a dagger at this guy's heart? Like, come on, man. Yeah, nice try.
Exactly. That dude should have got, like, a tossed Swiss Army knife right in the eyeball.
Yeah, and then he just tosses him back in the vent, seals it up, and he just the school smells like rotting flesh.
Well, that's a weird thing in this movie. Because basically what happens is this dude slinks out, and he's like, hi, I'm the janitor. I crawl through all the vents.
I'm always in the vents.
And he says, like, you know, you'd be surprised at the things you can hear when you're slinking around the vents in this school.
Oh, yeah, that's, like, really creepy.
You're all right, Porky's the Revenge.
First of all, he was hiding in a wall, listening into the bathroom.
Yep, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this dude was jerking off and was like, hey, a fight's starting. But what's hilarious about this is this janitor then, like, he sells Treat Williams on crawling around in this building, and they pull all of these bodies into the vent with them.
Yeah.
So that when the kid comes back in, he's like, where is the gang and where's the teacher that they were going to kill? There's literally no one in this bathroom.
Yeah.
But then it's never addressed what they did with the bodies.
No, it is.
Is
actually.
It?
Yeah.
Did they throw them in the boiler? Yeah, Freddy?
Definitely. They burned them in the furnace.
No, later on, he's like, oh, let me show you my weird hidey hole, weird shit, because I'm the janitor.
Oh, shit, does he have victims in there?
Well, no, but he's like, oh, and by the way,
chained up.
He's like, yeah, all those unconscious guys. I called the boys in blue, and they took them right away. I'm like, in a world without Batman, you just can't hand six unconscious people to the cops and be like, by the way, I took care of it for you.
Yep, just don't ask any questions like, whatsoever. It's like picking up garbage.
Yeah,
like making an appointment for trash to be taken.
Like, again, the Ninja Turtles can do that because they're fake turtles in a fictional universe. But like a real, you hand the cops an unconscious person, they're going to have a couple of questions
The garbage bag is... probably where we were. You mentioned they probably cut these men up and threw them in garbage bags.
Yeah, that's actually true. He says he turned them over to the boys in blue. He doesn't say in what condition they're in,
and he doesn't say what, you know.
I left a note.
I don't know. The garbage men were probably had blue jumpsuits on.
Yeah, I left them to the boys in blue. I also brutally stabbed them to death like the night of.
In case you're wondering, yes, I am the Zodiac Killer.
I am a ex-mercenary turned school employee, and I'm also the Zodiac Killer. Timeline checks out, by the way.
Absolutely, because he's in NAM. He's in the NAM.
Right. Now he's fleeing from his Zodiac crimes to the East Coast.
Yes, which makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And he's got all these, like, military memorabilia down there.
Well,
he's got
he's showing Treat Williams his hideout, and he definitely has a creepy line, too. He's like, you know what's funny? I used to be the only person that ever came down here. It's just me, and now you.
Oh, God.
And Treat Williams is, like, nodding politely. It's like, yo, that is fascinating.
Well, and you'll sleep in this corner.
But Treat Williams is never nervous because he's like, yo, I could just rip this guy's trachea out right now, motherfucker.
That's actually true. He doesn't give a shit. He knows that dude is not a threat.
A cool zero all the way. So,
Question, sorry.
No, please.
Because this hideout, it had me wondering, Is this janitor indeed living in the bowels of this school?
Yeah, I think he is. I think he's like he puts his mother's apartment on like the school records, but it's like yeah, but that's where I live every day. Blah blah blah.
It's like Cab Calloway and the Blues Brothers. It's living in the bottom of that nunnery for some unknown reason.
No, free rent, man. Yeah. I don't know if you're not picky.
If you got a cot and like brown walls, why not?
So, yeah, he makes fun of this janitor. The niece at this point is, like, kind of harassed by the gang.
Yeah, and she's also got a boyfriend.
Oh, right, this little kid.
All right,
kid.
They're making out at home at one scene.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about this.
Guest director Larry Clark shows up. Like, it's just... There's,
well,
there's
a couple different makeout sessions. Yeah. The one at her place doesn't get as saucy as the one at his place.
No, that's true. And, like, so now we're, like, getting down. And, like, I'm sitting here, like... All right, so this like teenage girl's got her shirt off, and I thought this was a movie about an ex-mercenary who pretends to be a substitute teacher for some reason. This scene probably shouldn't be in this movie.
You know what? You're probably right, Andrew.
You know, the substitute two schools out does not need teen sex, and it's that like
first base or above in the substitute two schools out. That's right. My guess.
Also, we're getting into transparent brassieres.
Yeah. Transparent brassieres, and we're talking about like. First time situation. Because like this dude's going for it.
This
and
dude comes out of the wall. Well, I heard something.
And she's just like,
oh, all the vents are connected.
I could get through the whole city from here. Man, I'm with Vent Man.
With my friend the Ninja Turtles.
Here's a question. Where are the Chuds in this situation?
That's a great question. And to that, I'd say the film Chud takes place in Lower Manhattan and Higher.
Oh, I
don't know that the Chud experiment made it to Brooklyn.
Okay.
I think is the situation.
All right. So just like, oh, no. I think Treat Williams versus Chud's the movie I want.
See, oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, 10 years from now, the Chuds will be priced out of Manhattan.
Oh, I know.
They'll make their way there because the Ninja Turtles took over their apartments.
So, yeah, I mean, like, really, Chuds are living in Jersey City circa 2016.
Guaranteed.
Oh, yeah.
As is Daniel Stern's character, who's with him. By the way, I saw a report that Chud's getting a Blu-ray release.
Ooh.
Commentary with the director, John Hurd, Daniel Stern, and the dude who played Bosch.
I heard Bud the Chud's coming out on something, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sick. A garbage can.
Well, yeah, I think it's a four-pack.
Dude, it's a real Chud renaissance, though.
The Chud-insance.
I'm still itching for Criterion Collection to put it out.
That's not going to happen.
So while these teens are almost having sex, there's a great shot of a Super Nintendo Super Scope on the table.
Oh, I missed that.
Dude, it's ridiculous.
Because what happens is, so she says to the kid, like, listen, I want to have sex with you. I'm just, like, not ready, like, not now. And he's sure. Like, fine, I'm going to go take a shower. And so she goes to, like, put this comically large stack of condoms, like, back in a drawer. And finds, like, her uncle, or no, it's her father, father's mercenary badge.
Well, the funny thing about the stack of condoms is, like, I guess that's a very teen thing. It's like, oh, man, I'm going to impress her with my large stack of condoms.
Oh, totally. Yeah, this will be stacked sky high. That'll look really fucking cool.
Yeah, look at all the sex I'm not having.
So she finds it, and he comes out wearing JNCO jeans with racing stripes on there, which are pretty sharp.
Absolutely, yeah, and there's definitely a chain wallet situation.
Of course there would be.
Fucking follow the leader, motherfucker.
they wind up fighting. Like, she's like, oh, you fucked my dad. You wanted to fuck me? And I'm like, well.
You know what? That's a bad line of dialogue.
Yeah.
But and that is like, wow, how crazy do you got to be, right? You're going to kill the father and.
Yeah, that's Bundy shit right there, man.
But this is the whole thing. The whole reason for this whole horseshit thing is this kid got this fancy sports car, and to pay off the car, he's framing the gang. Because he's not in this gang of, like, the backwards hoodie-wearing guys.
Oh, right. He's just, it's but, like a posing as them.
Yeah, or something. Or
this plot point is whispered in another room and is never really fully addressed. And it's what the whole movie is about.
This is the guy that Treat Williams is looking to find, and he never crosses paths with him.
Does not. This girl, even have one scene.
And he's a paper thin wall away while they're making out at one point. So they're there.
It's there. He's under his roof.
He can hear the lip smacking. And that's it. And he's just like, that's just kids for you. By the way, while Treat Williams starts living in this house, this is for your next time you're going to watch this in 50 years. You know, you spot stuff in the background. There is a lot of booze starting to show up in the background.
Oh, really?
It's like there's all these bottles on the table, and I'm like, wait, what? Why?
Well, you know, he needs like whiskey for his bum shoulder, rum for his memories.
Oh, wow.
It's like he's got like a concoction he cooks up.
Yeah, his forget-me-juice.
In order to stay normal and chipper while he kills.
Yes, exactly. You think he's going to class sober? I don't think so.
No, there's no way.
Let me talk to you about Nam and yo-yos. Like, yeah, this guy's fucking wasted. Like, nice try, Treat Williams. Luckily enough, no one cares about this abandoned wing of this high school. Oh man, what if they were all ghosts? What if they were all ghosts?
Oh, that's
great. I like
it. Mm-hmm. Wait, but so when you say all, who is the person that's a human? Just Treat Williams?
Just Treat Williams. Like, he's like, oh, I'm going to substitute teach this one class, but it's all ghosts.
Really? Oh, the class is all ghosts. So, yeah. Like, that girlfriend would be real.
Yeah,
otherwise, he's having intercourse with a ghost.
But that's Ghostbusters territory.
That's Dan Aykroyd territory. You don't want to get in on
that.
Well,
MacGruber did it pretty well.
So then at the same time all this is going down, the lady friend is confronted by B.D. Wong because Treat Williams is like, hey, I kind of suspect B.D. Wong's the actual bad guy in this movie.
He's second billed. He hasn't said anything in this movie. He's got to be the bad guy, right?
He definitely makes a speech when they first meet about how, like, the brother was, like, the only teacher in this school that gave a damn he was a great man and blah, blah, blah. So that's all a thing.
So she's asking too many questions. B.D. Wong reveals himself to be the bad guy of this movie. This movie kind of works like a dream a little bit because you're like, wait, I thought we were going after the killer. Oh, wait. And then at the end, he's like fighting B.D. Wong. And I'm like, what happened?
Yeah, no, it makes no sense. But then so all of a sudden, he's like crooked and he attacks this woman.
This woman's on the take, by the way. Her apartment has stairs.
Oh, a teacher on the take? How does that work?
I don't know. She might be another mercenary running another scam in this school.
Oh, see, that'd be great if like she's inevitably murdered in this scene, but he pops her like two in the stomach with a silenced pistol, and then like her mercenary badge falls out, and someone else steals that one.
That'd be great. The principal calls an all hands assembly and is like, all right, how many of you are actually mercenaries right now running different scams?
Some guy accidentally walks in with a ninja outfit on. Oh, shit. Because he's been like Mr. Doubtfiring, running back and forth. Mrs. Doubtfiring.
Well, no, he would be Mr. Doubtfire, the ninja.
Okay.
The ninja geology teacher.
Ooh, I was married to a ninja.
Yeah, he's pretending to be an elderly British woman teaching this, and then he changes into a ninja.
Wow, that's some deep cover. I think it would be every teacher's a mercenary at that school except for Paul Lazar.
Yeah, that's about right.
That'd be great, like a scene of him really shocked at all, like everyone's a mercenary.
Oh, sure.
Well,
be great.
They'll turn around like, how do you live off your salary? This is just like, and he's like, what? That's what everybody does, right? Everybody has a one bedroom in Queens. Like, no. I have a mansion.
I live quite comfortably. I live in Manhattan with the Chuds.
Judd roommate.
Oh, God. That's a Craigslist nightmare. So then, like, she's murdered. Treat Williams comes in, like, just not in the nick of time.
B.D. Wong evades being seen because he's just a little too tiny. Like, he goes like a little broom closet. He goes, and he's just hiding behind it.
It's so funny because he's, like, walking out and they're walking in. I don't know why they're going to this woman's house, though. I don't know what report was given.
She's like, oh, I have the goods on B.D. Wong. I have this file for you.
Oh, but then, so how does B.D. Wong find out what's going on?
I don't know. Maybe he's got Google Alerts set up on himself, like a 1998 Google Alert.
Oh, that could be a Netscape alert.
Yes.
Someone tried to Netscape query me.
Wait, my GeoCities page has one more view.
All right, he's looking at that GeoCities page, scrolling down to the bottom to see the counter.
Yeah, oh, the ticker down there.
The ticker?
Man.
Website tickers, bravo.
Yeah, so that's what he's doing. And basically, this is kind of setting up the end of the movie. This kid, the kid, by the way, who kills his brother... just kind of gets sidekicked into the closet, which is pretty dope.
Because her father was teaching her karate.
Which we learned. And that's the end of that chapter. Like, he just has to fix his closet and he gets away with murder free.
Nobody addresses the fact that that dude took a life. And Treat Williams doesn't succeed in his mission in finding out who killed his brother.
So she's like now telling Treat Williams this. Treat Williams has like this lady's blood all over her. By the way, BD Wong isn't wearing gloves. Like, just turn him into the police. You know what I mean? Like, that's the easy move here.
Yeah.
Like, this guy murdered this lady. Like, that's end of story.
You see him, like, lazily wiping his hands on something.
Nice try, dude.
Yeah, no, he's all over that apartment.
So she's sitting on the steps, and it's a blown line opportunity from Treat Williams here. And she's like, you know, oh, my God, this kid that I was in love with killed my dad. When is this going to end? And it's all been set up. All he needs to say is, it ends tonight. And anytime you get a chance to say it ends tonight.
Oh, sure.
But he just says, it's going to end soon. And he goes, really soon.
Like, which sucks, because the fact that he doesn't say tonight, he says soon, makes me pause the Amazon stream to see how much of this movie is left.
What do you mean by soon, Treat Williams?
How soon is soon, Treat Williams?
I want to go to bed.
That's a real cloudy answer you just gave.
So we get the gang now, because BD Wong's like, I'm tired of this guy. I'm going to set the gang out on him.
Right.
And BD sends the gang to the school, and Treat Williams, Joey Six, and the janitor creep jerk off guy is
the tunneler.
The tunneler. Right. Yeah. Is they all kind of get it's the end of the substitute one again at a different school.
Also, the end of the principal.
Yeah, and it's there's some good shooting in here.
Oh, it's a school under siege situation, like all of these movies have.
And I mean, people get blown to high hell. Guru bites it. Sorry, Guru fans.
Sorry, Guru, who might be listening.
Please contribute to the Patreon, Guru.
Guru doesn't have that kind of money.
Well, let's thank Guru anyway.
Yeah.
Thanks to Guru for listening. He's doing okay.
Yeah.
So he's dead. The endless amount of gang members are just murdered in various ways.
The tunnel guy has knockout gas. Like, he's the Penguin. Like, what are we talking about?
Well, because that's his whole thing, is he's like fully equipped.
If someone is too pretty in the bathroom late at night, they get the knockout gas.
Yeah, that's true. That's a bit creepy.
Yeah, well, it sure is.
A good old fashioned grenade doesn't creep me out. It scares me, but a knockout gas gets me a little nervous.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. No one's ever been molested because of a grenade.
Why do you have this dental chair down here?
He has some weird line, too, where he says, like, he's been working on this, like, military paraphernalia collection for 20 years or something like that.
He's kind of like the guy in Falling Down. Right. Give it to me.
Oh, well, that guy's got a whole wholesale store, though.
What's this doing in there? Yeah. Luckily, this guy's African-American and not a Nazi, so that, you know...
Well, Treat Williams is not going to team up with a Nazi.
Hold the phone. They're, you know, the Black Gestapo.
All right. You never know.
That was a movie in the 70s.
Yes. Well, you don't see any Nazi flags like the guy in Falling Down
I feel has. Like when you walk into this dude's basement hideout, there would be a big fucking swastika flag front and center. This is my collection. I'm a war collector.
Yeah, great. 8 out of 10 war collectors, you know.
You know, yeah, big time.
Oh, this is a really cool knife I want to show you. Oh, awesome. It's got a swastika on it.
Yeah, what else is
used?
In this?
It was actually used.
What else is in this pantry that has a lock on it?
Think about it. It was used.
I just like the history.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
The historical accuracy of it.
Oh, what a shock. There's a secret door in your house.
Exactly.
Get a load of this secret door. Check out this knob. It was used. It was actually used.
Oh, this toilet. You know what happened there?
Think about it.
It was used. It was used back by the Nazis.
Millions of times. Hitler. Millions of them.
Hitler's toilet. La, 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 la.
He took shits every day. Think about it. Think about how many shits.
Oh, man. All
all that bratwurst, oh, coming out the wrong way, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you want to use the toilet for a while? I don't have to be here when you do it. I got a camera, so you're good.
Just maybe think about donating $5, though. Keep this collection flourishing.
Oh, you support me on Patreon.
Man, that is half of Patreon. So please support the good half.
Yes.
Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. So then it's down to a bare knuckle fight between Treat Williams and BD Wong. This thing's awesome.
Here's the fucked up thing. So they kill like 9 to 10 children the night before.
Right.
And then the next day, the school opens as normal and shop class is going on.
Insane. No.
No, incorrect. And like BD Wong's like, oh, what are you doing here? By the way,
unless that janitor is really good, actually cleaned the whole school, put all those kids in tubs of lye in the basement.
Oh,
maybe. Yeah.
Oh, wait a second. The school siege happens, and then it's the next day he gets
it's
in the fight.
Next day, it's during school hours.
What is he doing in the off time?
Going to sleep, having a nice breakfast.
He's not going home and fucking that teacher because she was murdered.
That's true.
Oh, maybe he's arranging that funeral, though.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out the best way to get his suitcase into the cemetery.
Well, I do have another appointment after this lady's funeral, so I want to have as much baggage on me. I'm going to bring my lunch as well.
Look, I always get tied up at security. The cab is taking me straight to the airport the second the coffin starts lowering into the ground.
Oh, I better lay out my best flannel for this, because he does not wear a tie to his brother's funeral. Another thing.
Nope.
Another thing, dude.
Yeah,
thanks, but no thanks.
Very casual funeral.
Yes. So it's the next day.
The next day.
The school is not under investigation or anything, blah, blah,
well,
blah.
Well, there are no, and this is New York fucking city, Brooklyn in the 90s.
It's Giuliani era. There's police everywhere.
Yeah, there are police officers on every corner forgetting about 9/11.
Dude, you know.
Where are the police in this movie?
The weird thing is, I just let the schools run. I know there's so many mercenaries running those schools. I can't be bothered.
Now if some of these Times Square prostitutes could become ex-mercenaries, maybe we'd finally start cleaning the city up a bit. Nina, what? What a fucking piece of shit little man he is.
Yeah.
Lord. But seriously, though, this school is not under siege with detectives and officers everywhere.
Grenades were used last night. Knockout gas is, like, staining the walls. There's blood everywhere.
There might be a Nazi flag in the basement.
There's a middling rapper was killed here last night. Guru is dead, everybody.
At very least, people are walking by fresh bullet holes in the walls, and no one's doing anything about it.
Yeah, this wasn't here last time English class met.
So it's BD Wong carrying on business as usual, even though half his gang is dead. And he's just like, well, you gotta go to work. I'm out of personal days.
Gotta teach these kids how to make wall sconces for candle holders.
So Treat Williams interrupts him in the middle of class, and he's like, you know, this ends now, blah, blah, blah. And a pretty cool fight happens.
Pretty good damn fight.
Even
man.
The problem, though, is that BD Wong is so tiny. You know, he's a very little man, and Treat Williams is big and beefy.
Yeah, it's a real slugfest, though. We're using a lot of tools we get, which is awesome.
My lord, Treat Williams uses a muffler on this guy's face.
It's pretty great.
A muffler.
He burns him with a naked light bulb in his eye.
That's pretty cool.
There's like some fun little makeup effects, which I appreciate.
BD Wong at one point definitely makes a blowtorch.
Yes,
which
BD
is
Wong
great.
The blowtorch. Blowtorch D. Wong, which I like.
They throw him into a windshield.
Oh, there's a couple of windshield hits in this, which is great too.
So at the end of this, and all of these students, we go out to the recess area. A crowd has formed, and Treat Williams stabs him with this like enormous screwdriver right in the heart. He kills him like a fucking vampire.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It'd be great if he turned to dust. That'd be fun.
That would be pretty great.
Oh, wow, yeah.
That would be a nice twist for the substitute, too.
Set up Substitute 3 when they go to Transylvania.
Yeah, Transylvania Exchange Program.
Yeah.
My brother was killed by vampires. I'm going to propose the substitute teacher in Transylvania.
Dude, mercenaries versus vampires?
That's a movie.
We're on to something.
I'm sure that's got to be some shitty direct.
Everything
DVD.
You could imagine has been done.
I wanted to see that. I never saw that movie, Dog Soldiers. That's supposed to be pretty cool.
I saw that.
Mercenaries versus werewolves, right?
Yeah, and I think maybe some mercenaries are werewolves or something. That's cool. I mean, it's all right.
That's directed by somebody who did something better than that movie.
He did that movie. Is it The Descent? I don't know. But he did. What's that movie with Malcolm McDowell that's sort of trying to be Mad Max-ish?
Malcolm McDowell movie that's trying to be Mad
He's
Max.
Like the villain, and it's a female lead. Who's that? Selma Blair?
Is it Tank Girl? I'm pretty sure he's the...
God damn Tank you.
Girl? Oh, Neil Marshall, who he did direct...
The Descent.
The Descent. Oh, you're thinking of Doomsday.
Yes.
Eric.
Who starred in Doomsday?
Neil Marshall's. I think maybe the main character.
Oh, she's from Underworld, maybe?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, my God.
Rona Mitra.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's kind of nobody, yeah.
All right.
TV show. Yeah, she was big on Boston Legal for 20 episodes.
All right, so BD Wong gets stabbed in the heart in the middle of recess, right?
And he goes. And turns into a skeleton.
But the janitor has the balls to turn around to all these kids that gathered and say, "All right, show's over, folks."
Go back to class, too.
And they do. They walk single file. Like, okay.
A man is dead on the sidewalk.
You know what? FYI, the show's just getting started.
Thanks so much. The show will go on because that dude is fucking dead. I'm looking at a dead body right now, pal.
And BD Wong's doing a great job of being like, slumped in like a human pile with this huge screwdriver.
Not enough BD. I've not watched Gotham. He's a villain on that. Like, I like BD Wong.
He's Doctor Strange on
he's
Gotham.
He's in Mr. Robot quite a bit.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Good yeah, stuff. He's pretty much off of SVU these days.
Yeah, you'd almost
that's
have
unfortunate.
To be.
He's crooked in that terrible Jurassic World movie.
Oh, what? He comes back?
He comes back as that dude. And he's crooked.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
He's like taking money from Vincent D'Onofrio's like stupid like military company to breed dangerous dinosaur soldiers.
I like that idea.
Sure.
So then we have there's another funeral, right? Or no, they're just walking in the park.
Because this movie ends very terribly with just a park walk. I guess because there's no one left to say goodbye to.
Because the teacher's dead. Joey Six is like, "I'll send you a bill." Like, yeah, right.
It's like, "Hey, Joey Six, remember at the start of this movie when I told you there was no pay in it?" Yeah. It's fucking sticking to that.
And the janitor goes to just like take BD Wong's corpse wherever he's taking it. Yeah, because the show's just begun.
I mean, he's getting the bath. Dude.
There needs to be an end credits stinger scene of him just playing with a bunch of bones in the creepy basement.
He's building a couch out of femurs.
Yeah.
So, but he's like, he goes to the girl and like, he's like, "Oh, you know," he's got his duffel bag on. He's like, "Oh, I gotta get to the next port.
Came here to do what I did."
And the girl who's just lost her dad, it's her uncle, her only family in the world. And she's like, "Hey, man." She's like, "Hey, man, you want to hang out for a while? I just inherited this house." And he's like, "Yeah, I'll stay till you graduate high school. Then I'm fucking gone." And
yeah,
it's like,
totally.
I'm sorry, but like, if I die... And I don't want my brother necessarily to avenge my murder. I'd like him to raise my daughter. You know what I mean? Like that. You're using your uncle skills a bit better that way.
Well, you know what? He's not doing either because he didn't avenge the death in the first place.
He's an idiot.
That's true.
He just killed a bunch of random people.
He just took down a gang that had almost nothing to do with his brother's death.
All this gang was doing was stripping cars.
Yes, that's it.
That's it.
He killed BD Wong in broad daylight, killed no less than 14 teenagers.
Yeah, like, listen.
And let the one that actually did the crime get away and get a couple smooches in.
And not to be a jackass, but, you know, that kid was white. The kid that gets away with it just so happens to be the only white bad guy in
right.
this movie.
And he's not in the Arkham wing either.
No.
He's like in the regular wing. I don't think
he even goes to the same school, does he?
Oh my God, I don't even know.
But he gets away. You need to tell me that this kid goes to prison.
Yeah, I need to see a police officer in this movie. At least one police officer putting him into the back of the
Nabithian Times Square. Cleaning it up. Trying to push those prostitutes into the river. Go, prostitutes. Go for a dip, prostitute.
Oh, man, Giuliani would have the dip, wouldn't he?
Oh, yeah, totally.
I'm going to kill this little shoe.
And I talked like this. Oh, that's it, you little shoe. I'm cleaning up Toontown now. All you little shoes are getting dipped. All you stray little shoes in the street.
That makes total sense because he cleaned up Times Square for the Disney Corporation
exactly,
to come in.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Get out of here, shoe. Mickey Mouse has to come in. Elmo, you watch yourself. You'll be next. Not putting up with any Jim Henson horse shit in my Times Square. You're getting a dip.
Man, and that's just kind of the end of this movie. Interesting thing about this movie, though, I'm looking at like the amount of credits for like acting characters.
Sure.
The stunt double list is longer than the actors, like by a country mile, though.
Because there's a lot of little, I mean, we don't talk about it because the action's not really like that funny, but like there's some like, you know, good hand-to-hand stuff. And
good hand-to-hand.
Jumping around.
There's the hilarious at the beginning of the movie where they pull a gun on him from the car and Treat Williams does like a forward roll and breaks the dude's arm.
Yeah, that's pretty hilarious.
That wasn't bad. Treat Williams went on to do two more of these movies.
Nice.
Substitute 3, Winner Takes All, and then like a fourth one. Like kind of more recently than the rest of these movies.
So, and it's different school districts.
Yeah, he's just going around to different school districts each time.
Avenging different mercenaries, I guess, that have fallen in the schools.
The third one, speaking of falling down, there's some white supremacists going around.
Oh, is the fourth one substitute for Lamaze class? Like he's just teaching somebody gets killed and he's just fighting a bunch of pregnant women?
Yeah, I'm this Lamaze class's substitute teacher. And here's my yo-yo.
Like he's like punching them but telling them to exhale for the baby's sake?
Yeah, it's the very next year was Winner Takes All. He's fighting white supremacists. And then, oh, I guess, no, it was kind of right in line with this. 2001, Failure is Not an Option, which I've never seen.
Oh, that's him teaching improv? Is that what happens?
Would anybody recommend The Substitute 2 Schools Out?
Yeah, it's a light recommend. It's just kind of a fun movie. It moves at a decent clip. It's like 90 minutes flat. It's exactly kind of what you want. I'm into it.
I would say just watch the first one twice.
Just the first one twice?
It's just that good.
Yeah. No, I would totally recommend this movie. By the way, I realize I'm mixing up the plots. The fourth one is White Supremacist, where Treat Williams is a cop for some reason.
Sure.
Shit.
The third one is there's like a football team that's juicing, and he's taking them down.
And is he a coach?
I don't think
I like the idea of him getting new jobs every town.
The coach.
Like now he's the milkman.
The Substitute 3, the milkman.
Yeah.
I would recommend this movie. I think this movie's a good hangover movie. It's not too long. You don't have to give a flying shit. You've already probably seen four other movies with the exact same plot, including the first Substitute. So I'm totally down. I feel like you could sort of just sleep through it and wake up and Treat Williams as like kind of being
still there.
Just Treat Williams still there.
Still at zero.
That's The Substitute 2, Schools Out, directed by Steve Pearl. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out WHMPodcast.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. We are at WHMPodcast. Right into the mailbag. WeAllHateMovies@gmail.com. Remember, gang, the Patreon is up and rolling. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies. And one final thing. Next week, we are going to be out in Los Angeles.
Ooh, say hi.
We're going to be doing the live show at the LA PodFest preview event at the Hollywood Improv, talking Suburban Commando.
Which is sold out.
It's sold out, but here's the thing. Steve, you're saying to yourself, like, oh, bummer, I got sold out of the LA PodFest show. Mm-hmm. Well, that is unfortunate. But there is a way that you can check out. It's being filmed.
Oh, you just go into the vents, right? Then you watch it?
you sneak in through the vents. No, LA PodFest is doing a cool thing where you can buy a live stream pass to the festival.
Oh, cool.
And you can see all the shows that are in the LA PodFest streaming live. Since ours airs before the PodFest starts, ours is being recorded and then will be put up the next day.
Oh, cool. So that Friday, you'll be able to check that out.
Exactly right. So you're going to go to lapodfest.com and then scroll down to the bottom. They got all the passes you can purchase. You want to pick up this live stream pass. Now, get this, gang. As a special offer to our listeners, you can get $5 off this live stream pass by using our promo code MOVIES. Of course, that's M-O-V-I-E-S. Get yourself $5 off this pass. You can stream all the shows at the LA Podfest and get our show. So before we maybe, maybe not put out Suburban Commando down the road, you can watch us do it.
Right.
Pre-recorded show.
You get to see our corporeal beings.
That's right. So LAPodfest.com, scroll down, get that live stream pass. Use our promo code. Very important to use our promo code MOVIES to get $5 off the live stream pass. So that is the season premiere of We Hate Movies. Next week, we're going into the jungle. Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Little cult film known as Anaconda.
Ooh, I like that movie.
Oh, yeah, you got some John Voight in that movie.
Some J-Lo.
You got some even more John Voight in that movie. You got a really terrible computer snake we'll get into.
Oh, yeah. And a puppet snake competing for screen time.
Yeah, it's a real duel of the dicks.
And John Voight.
So until next week with Anaconda, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zadak.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.